Thank you for that introduction, and thank you to everyone who's come to this presentation during the lunch hour. I know I am excited to eat lunch after this. And so I wanted to also thank you for coming to the presentation on community building and legislative advocacy at the Illinois Caucus for Adolescent Health, which is a statewide organization that's based in Chicago. And in partnership with youth, ICA advocates for a positive approach to adolescent sexual health and parenting, including increasing access to sexual health care and education, and supporting pregnant and parenting young people to reach their educational goals. And I have no commercial financial relationships to disclose except with my student loan company. And, okay, so why is a positive approach to adolescent sexual health important? Well, according to 2009 American Community Survey data, young people under 18 comprise roughly 25% of the state's population. However, as you can see from these statistics as a group, Illinois youth between the ages of 13 and 24 continue to experience negative sexual health outcomes. Further creating a picture of its social environment, Illinois received nearly $8 million in Title V abstinence only until marriage and community abstinence education funding for in fiscal year 2009. This was the fourth highest amount in the U.S. behind Texas, Georgia, and Florida. Its sexual health education policy requires the components listed on this slide to be taught in public schools. In addition to these required topics, any course teaching about sexual intercourse must include information about the hazards of sexual intercourse and the rates of failure of condom use. Both medical and behavioral health research have found abstinence-only until marriage programs to be both ineffective and inaccurate. In light of these findings, leading health organizations such as the American Public Health Association, the American Medical Association, and the Society for Adolescent Medicine have called for sexual health education that's medically accurate, evidence-based, age-appropriate, and focuses on a wide range of sexual health topics and experiences to fully meet the needs of sexually active youth, LGBTQQ youth, that's lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, questioning, and queer, and youth survivors of sexual assault, abuse, and trauma. Just to give you some background on our theoretical framework, socio-ecological model, ICA as an organization is built on a theoretical foundation of reproductive justice. Reproductive justice is a movement for holistic self-determination that calls for an end to the intersecting oppressions that interfere with someone's ability to truly make decisions about his or her life, his or her body, and his or her health. Reproductive justice argues that until dominant systems of health are examined and radically transformed, that the sexual and reproductive exploitation of women, communities of color, the poor, the uninsured, the differently abled, immigrants, LGBTQI people, and other socially excluded groups will continue. Our approach to advocacy and community building acknowledges that successful change requires a systematic view of both the problem and its solutions. And to this end, ICA engaged in a multi-level initiative to promote youth leadership development, participatory community and capacity building, and legislative advocacy, which you can see here. And so in response to community advocacy, in 2010, Illinois Governor Pat Quinn rejected the Title V funds, that was the Abstinence Only Until Marriage and Community Abstinence Education funds, and applied for funding under the new federal Personal Responsibility Education Program for Comprehensive Sexual Health Education that was created under the Patient Protection and Affordable Care Act of 2009, otherwise known as health reform. And this provided an opportunity for Illinois to adopt its own state-level regulations for implementation of the PrEP funds, and ICA has played an integral role in advocating for support of the PrEP Act through use of the community circle, which I'm going to talk about, and then a couple other methods. So in general, our community circle model gathers stakeholders and other community members and guides them through interactive activities to both discover and define a health issue toward the creation of a plan for action. And when possible, these community circles at ICA are co-facilitated by an ICA youth and an ICA staff or other adult ally. So I'll start with our policy advocacy campaign, which focused on the passage of the PREP Act for comprehensive sexual health education. So the key components of our campaign, as you can see here, include the Youth Illinois Illinois Youth Policy Council, which is a youth-led group within ICA that leads and advocates for sexual health issues, and also the community circle model, which I just described, which includes activities for the community health report card, which is a way to rate the multiple facets of health in communities, the community sexual health eco-map, which discovers the interconnectedness between the different elements that are impacting adolescent sexual health and health education, and a toolkit for action, which is an advocacy and organizing plan that's developed by attendees of the community circle that will prepare them for action once they leave. ICA sponsored PREP Act community circles in four communities in northeastern Illinois: Joliet, Vernon Hills, which is a northern suburb, the city of Chicago, and then Maywood, which is on the west side of Chicago. And this led to a statewide lobbying day with 150 young people in Springfield, Illinois. And it also, these advocacy efforts also helped pass the Illinois PREP Act in our state Senate. And so right now we're waiting for passage in the State House, but so far our efforts have been successful. And I also wanted to share another application of our community circle and other advocacy models. And this was within our condom access campaign to increase youth accessibility to free insertive condoms, otherwise known as the male condom, in their communities. This initiative was led by a different program within ICA called the School of Justice Youth Organizing Program, and community circles for the condom access campaign were held in 9 neighborhoods on the south and west sides of Chicago, which was meant to target youth of color, low-income youth, and immigrant youth to increase youth's knowledge and improve youth's attitudes about condoms and help them create action plans to increase access. And so as a result of these community circles, the youth who are in the School of Justice program, as well as youth who attended these condom access campaign community circles, engaged in school and street-based distribution. One action that they did was on Valentine's Day outside of one of the largest movie theaters in downtown Chicago. And then they did a series of street-based distribution at the Taste of Chicago, which I'm not sure if you have ever been in Chicago when this is happening or heard of it, but it's a really large tourist event, as well as people from Chicago who attend. And they also engaged local businesses to distribute free condoms to young people and kept connections with these businesses so that they could return and then replenish the condoms at these businesses. So that was two examples of how we have used this model. And so throughout using this model over the past year for those two purposes as well as others, we've learned several lessons. We know that community organizing isn't a new concept, especially in Chicago, which is known for its rich history of community organizing. But we did learn a few things from this work, which I've listed here on the slide. One of them was that coalition building is really, really important. We couldn't have done this work on our own by any means, and we had to create a lot of community partnerships in order to successfully do the work around bill passage of the Illinois PREP Act in the Senate and then also increasing youth's access to condoms. We were also able to use our work to help build community and create stronger ties between various organizations that support the health and wellness of young people in the greater Chicagoland area. It's almost always, though, when working in collaboration, you have to take into consideration the values of the other organizations that you're working with. And so we learned the difficulty of staying committed to our own mission and values, especially since reproductive justice is seen as a very radical theoretical framework. And so that was difficult for us. Even though we were working with a number of progressive organizations, they were still just slightly more conservative than ICA and had differing philosophies when it came to working with young people. And finally, we experienced many of the challenges of doing youth leadership development, and this included scheduling events and meetings and planning committee meetings, especially at a time when youth would be able to attend, not just when working adult allies would be able to attend, the need for constant and continuous follow-up, patience in mentoring, a lot of patience, and our own self-awareness of adultism, which is the systematic idea that adults are superior to youth and children and young people. However, we also really learn the value of having youth at the table, and that youth engagement in these initiatives really seem to increase their ownership in the process. And in addition to that, just some anecdotal feedback that we've received from state legislators in Illinois is that what really fueled their decisions to vote in favor of the Illinois PrEP Act for comprehensive sexual health education was being able to speak with youth and being able to get their perspectives on what type of sex ed they had received or not received and how that had impacted their lives. So had we not had that component, we may not have been as successful on that initiative. And so, of course, we found that this is a model that works, and so we're going to continue to use it. So building on the previous success from the campaigns that I've just talked about, as well as some other more minor campaigns that we've done, ICA is going to continue to use and share this community circle model for our continued condom access campaign that is going to continue to engage youth from the School of Justice program, as well as other youth sexual health campaigns that we're taking part in around organizing with lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, questioning, and queer youth, youth who are in foster care, youth who are pregnant or parenting, and then youth who are learning how to do grassroots fundraising. And in addition, the community circle model is going to be used for a community-based reproductive justice research project that's looking to explore the needs and priorities of Asian American women and girls, and that's in collaboration with the Chicago chapter of the National Asian Pacific American Women's Forum. As we undertake the effort of continuing to use the community circle model, we want to have it be a larger, more coordinated effort across our entire agency so that we can collect some data that's going to look at how the community circle model is used across all of the campaigns instead of collecting data in a more disjointed way, as can often happen in nonprofits and even in academia, where people are very siloed. In one part of an organization or one department of an organization may not realize that the work that the other is doing could really help achieve a mutual goal. And so this is my list of references, should you like to read it. And then I also wanted to, this is my contact information, should you want to get in touch with me about the usage of this model. And I also wanted to acknowledge the support of the staff at ICA. We are a statewide organization, but we have 9 full-time people, and so you can imagine we do a lot of work and a lot of long hours. And I just wanted to acknowledge that they have a lot of commitment to adolescent sexual health and social justice, which makes me excited to go to work every day. The youth of the 2010 and to 2011 Illinois Youth Policy Councils and School of Justice programs, and they make just watching them work and watching them get really excited about sexual health makes me really optimistic about the future. The members of the Reproductive Health and Access Coalition, most specifically the AIDS Foundation of Chicago, the ACLU of Illinois, Planned Parenthood of Illinois, and Personal PAC, who are our closest partners and helped us organize the statewide lobbying day as well as other advocacy efforts. And then the major funders of ICA's work, the Ford Foundation, the Chicago Foundation for Women, the Groundswell Fund, and the Polk Brothers Foundation. And for anyone who would like these slides emailed to them, I'll have a sign-up sheet as well, and I'm happy to entertain any questions that you have about the work that ICA has done. So thank you.